Luke chapter 5 in your Bibles this evening. It's a familiar story. It's a good story. Luke chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets, and you're going to tell in just a minute, they're not one bit happy. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. The fish aren't biting. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down singular the net. When God told him to let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Our text is in verse 5. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. One of the keys to the Christian life is us simply doing what God tells us to do. Whatever He tells us to do, do it. Whatever He tells us not to do, don't do it. Even when you think you know better. In this story, Peter was a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. But the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And Peter equivocated at the beginning, saying, basically, Lord, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter, we know more about fishing than what you do. But nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. Even when it appears useless, we need to obey the Lord. We have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Even when it appears useless, we still need to obey the Lord. When you don't understand, obey the Lord. Get to the place where you simply say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord. So let's just decide that we will live our life according to His word, according to Him saying, do this. First of all, let's decide that we will go and preach the gospel to all nations, because that's what God has told us to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will do that. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And the last three verses in this book, The Lord says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Folks, he is addressing us this evening. He's addressing the church that he founded. And he is saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. How can we do that? There's only one way for us to fulfill the Great Commission, and that's given in Acts chapter 1. Go with me there, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. Once again, it is addressing the local church. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When the Bible says both, it means at the same time. The only way that you can fulfill the Great Commission is through your participation in the local church. When the Bible says both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, that simply means we have a responsibility here in Phoenix. We have a responsibility in this state. We have a responsibility in the United States, and then we have a responsibility to the ends of the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, we are able to fulfill that simply because of our missionaries. I was thinking this morning, we have missionaries in Africa that was preaching the gospel before we even got up this morning. And then as it came across, then we got our chance to preach the gospel today. And then as the sun goes down here, we have others that are just beginning to preach. The sun never sets on the ministry of this church. God help us to just do what God told us to do. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. Second of all, we are to contend earnestly for the faith. That little vestibule to the book of Revelation, the little book of Jude. Go with me there, please. Jude. And look at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That verse implies action. It implies us doing something. First of all, don't compromise. This faith that was once delivered unto us is not going to change. We should never compromise the Word of God. It is good for all time. There are moral absolutes in this book, and they are not going to change for eternity. God, help us to do that. But if we contend for the faith, it is going to cost us. The Bible says earnestly contend means to agonize. You will become, if you earnestly contend for the faith, Paul said in the book of Hebrews, you will become a gazing stock. People will look at you like you have lost your mind. A gazing stock, the Bible says. You will become the offscouring of the world. You know what it comes down to, folks? Who do you want to please? If you're going to please the Lord, then you're going to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. That's not going to change, and we're not going to compromise. We need to know what the Bible teaches and what we believe. Third, we will give Christ first place in our life, not a prominent place, a preeminent place, the Bible says. Nothing is as important as giving Jesus Christ first place in each one of our lives. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Again, it's a story that you know well. Luke chapter 9. But it sure fits in well tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse 53 of Luke chapter 9. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" And he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. And as it came to pass that as they went, in a way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, he's always honest, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." The Son of God didn't even have a pillow or a place to lay his head. And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." His attitude towards life is found in two words there. Me first. The Lord said, "Here's what I want you to do." And he said, "Me first, Lord, what I want to do." And what he was asking is not a bad thing, but his attitude is revealed in me first. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee." Here it is again. "But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ is to be absolutely preeminent in our life. Fourth, we need just to decide that we are going to study His Word. Here is a great verse of Scripture. Go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. And I love this. Jeremiah chapter 15. And look at verse 16. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." We just need to mark it down that we're going to love and study the Word of God. Fifth, that we will let our light shine for Him. Matthew 5:16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Everything we do affects other people. And God just says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Six, let's just decide that we will return good for evil. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 44 and 45. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And then let's decide that we will be men and women of prayer. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Folks, let's just decide that we are going to be prayer warriors in our life. And then last of all, let's decide that we are looking forward to his coming. Titus chapter 2. Book of Titus, chapter 2. And again, boy, these are such sweet words. Titus chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Let's just decide that we are going to do what Christ tells us to do. Father, thank you for just being so clear in your word about how we should live our life. And Father, we can never go wrong by simply doing what you tell us to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Father, you want to do so many wonderful things through us and for us. And this world needs a blessing like that. So, Father, help us. Thank you for these dear people that are in your house this evening. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.